Now, if you can turn to page 787 in your hymnals, it's Psalms 82. We will read that together. I will start, and then you read in the second. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is in God, who alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in God at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before God, who is taking refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath, for those of high estate are but a delusion. In the balance they go up. They are together, lighter than breath. Put no confidence in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard you. Power belongs to God and to you, O Lord, belongs the steadfast word. For you repay all to their work.
Our second reading from the Hebrew Bible comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 49, verses 8 through 16a. You can find that on page 638 of the Hebrew Bible. Often folks are asking me about the A and B in scripture readings. Just a reminder, many of you probably know this. Sometimes the punctuation that was added afterwards into the Bible, especially into the Hebrew, misread the writer's intent. And so we end up having to break sometimes even a sentence. In this case, we did break a sentence. And A and B simply means in that verse, if there's an obvious break, consider either the first or the second half. And in this case, we'll consider the A portion, the first half. So that's what we mean by 8 through 16a on page 638 of your pew Bible. So please follow along if you would like to. That's a good thing to do. And hear these words. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you. On a day of salvation I have helped you. I have kept you and given you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out to those who are in darkness. Show yourselves. They shall feed along the ways. On all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them down. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will turn all my mountains into a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Lo, these shall come from far away, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the lands of the Syene. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his suffering ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Or show no compassion for the child of her womb. Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading be from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 157. Hear these words. Think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring light to the things now hidden in the darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive commendation from God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. We have been following along the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. We continue today, Matthew 6, verses 24 through 34. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 6 of the New Testament. We were speaking in the Thursday night Bible study about this lesson. Jesus is always here telling the disciples, reminding them of the lessons they learned from the Hebrew Bible, from Torah, if you will, from the earlier covenants with God. And Jesus doesn't refute anything that was said, but rather strengthens it and focuses it for their hearing and for ours. So let us listen to the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, as could well be said of all of the Sermon on the Mount, there are several beautiful images in this passage from Matthew. Personally, I'm especially drawn to the images of the birds of the air. That's why I put that image on the front of your bulletin, the silhouettes of birds in flight. But this image and these words, these intriguing words of Jesus, came clearly to my mind this past week on President's Day on Monday. Jane and Zach and I, our family, took some time together that Monday to go out to Bar Lake State Park out near DIA. Have you ever been there? Anybody been to Bar Lake? Yeah, good. Well, if you haven't been there, it's a huge reservoir of water surrounded by grassland and cottonwood groves with a dirt trail that completely encircles. It's 8+ miles. It goes all the way around the lake. And it's the wide open spaces of the plains with beautiful views to the west of the Rockies. Bar Lake is a wonderful place to stretch your legs, to breathe deeply, and for our family to look for birds. Because it's out there on the plains, it's a perfect habitat for red-tailed hawks. And we saw many of these gorgeous hawks wheeling and circling in the skies. We also saw the typical assortment of crows, robins, starlings, and red-winged blackbirds. Well, because Bar Lake is a huge body of water, and at this time of year still has some open water, there were scores of Canada geese. There were mallards and mergansers and shovelers. And if you know what those are, you know the variety. If you don't, they're different kinds of ducks. But it's always a true delight to be outside in God's creation and to see this amazing variety of winged creatures. But what really set that day apart in our minds were the sightings of bald eagles. Now, I know that many people don't really pay attention to birds. They're sort of in the background. But it's pretty hard to ignore a mature bald eagle when it flies directly overhead. Broad and majestic black wings and body, with that gorgeous white head and spreading white tail in the back. Just amazing. What a sight. Well, we saw bald eagles flying over the lake. We saw several immature eagles on the ice. We saw eagles roosting in the cottonwood trees. We saw several eagles in the trees surrounding an active nesting site. It seemed that nearly everywhere we looked at Bar Lake, we were seeing eagles. And by Zach's accurate count, we saw 21 bald eagles that day. Not sightings, but independent eagles. But the reality of nature was also evident that morning, as it is every time we go out for a hike. As we walked along the lake shore and looked where the ice met the open water, I looked down and saw a dead pelican. Even in death, this pelican was beautiful. Snow-white feathers and that impressive pelican bill. That pelican got me thinking about the poetic images of birds that Jesus spoke about in his talk to the apostles in this passage of Matthew. Now, surely, there is beauty and a feeling of carefree existence when we look at birds in flight. In fact, as we were watching this one mature bald eagle fly right over our heads, Zach turned to me and said, "Wouldn't it be great if you were a bird and you could fly anywhere you wanted to go?" Well, Jesus has a similar romantic view of birds. "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Well, in reality, whenever you see a bird in flight, whether it's an eagle or a robin or whatever, it's likely that that bird is actively looking for food. That bird is at work. Birds spend a huge majority of their time looking for food. And that's just the way it works in nature. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not refuting Holy Scripture, nor am I arguing with what Jesus Christ was saying. But let's take a look at the reality of this situation. Remember, in this passage of Matthew, that it begins with a larger lesson where Jesus is teaching the apostles about keeping money in the proper perspective in their lives. The reading begins with this line: "No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." As Jesus continues with these beautiful images of birds of the air and lilies of the field, he is telling us that we ought to keep a healthy and holy perspective of our lives. This is truly both a lesson of wise psychology and wise theology. You may have heard this model that I'm going to share with you, a model of personal responsibility. I've seen it several times, but I first read about it in Stephen Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. How many of you read that book? Some of you did. Good. Well, Covey talks about what's of concern in our lives, what we worry about and what we think about. He describes that there are two spheres in our lives. One is our sphere of influence, and the other one is our sphere of concern. Now, your sphere of influence is all of those things in your life over which you have no direct control. over which you do have direct control. Your sphere of influence is that which you can control. Things like what you eat and what you drink every day, the amount of exercise you get, the amount of time you spend in front of the TV or the computer, the amount of money that you give to your church. You can control all of these things. If you can have a direct effect on a situation in your life, then that is within your sphere of influence. And when you get right down to it, your sphere of influence may well be smaller than you might first believe. But surely, your sphere of concern is much larger. Your sphere of concern is all of those things in your life and in your world that are of interest to you, but over which you really have no control. You may worry about the weather, but there's not much you can do about it. Many of us may be afraid of death, but in fact, you will die someday. When you read the newspaper or watch the news, you may well be concerned with the people of Christ Church, New Zealand. You may think about the folks in Afghanistan. You may be worried about the people of Libya. But there's not a lot you can do right here and right now to directly affect their lives. There are many things that you worry about that you cannot really fix. And these are all the situations that are in your sphere of concern. Well, Jesus speaks directly to this basic human psychology when he says, "And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life?" And he also says at the end, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." Well, this is good advice. But here there is also an important lesson of theology as well. I'm reminded of that old song that I learned when I was a kid. It's one of those songs where if I say the title, it'll be going through your head for the rest of the day. "I've got the whole wide world. He's got the whole wide world in his hands." Okay, sorry, are you singing it in your head? "He's got the whole world." Yeah. And it goes on. "He's got my brothers," and all those things. But think about that image. Think about that, if you would. The entire earth, you're probably seeing a globe, resting warmly and gently in God's loving hands. What a beautiful image. "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" We know that ultimately God is in control. We know that in the end, God's kingdom will be most certainly become a reality, but we're not quite so sure about how things will go in the meantime. God's kingdom has already begun. That's what Jesus said when he was here on earth. As wonderful as that is, we also need to admit that sin and death and poverty and war and homelessness and hunger are still a reality right here and right now. But we live in the hope of a brighter tomorrow when Jesus is fully in control. And we pray fervently for God's shalom, God's peace with justice for all people, that it might be a reality now. Christian people are very realistic about the state of affairs in our world. We recognize what is within our sphere of influence. But because we live a kingdom lifestyle, because we hold a kingdom worldview, We work tirelessly to widen our sphere of influence, to incorporate more of our sphere of concern. We can make the world a better place, one person at a time. We are, after all, my brothers and sisters, only human. By God's design, we are distinctly separate from God. We have human limitations, including our tendency to sin and our ultimate biological death. Those things separate us from God. But God made us in God's image. We are children of God. We strive to be like Jesus Christ, and we have the power and the hope of the Holy Spirit. We need to keep our focus on God, to trust Jesus completely each day as we go about our worldly lives. But strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Strive for God's kingdom indeed. Amen.